what if we can actually reverse the age of our muscle fibers? What if, even if you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, you can actually start to reverse the age of your muscle fibers? Can it be done? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on The Jason Wright Show. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Jason Wright Show. I'm so glad you're here. As you know, the mission is always to improve, always and always. And that's what I want to talk about today, is how we can improve our muscle fibers. Now, here's one of the things that since I jumped into the health and wellness space and really just wanted to understand how the human body works from a biological, physiological standpoint, understanding how to more epigenetic studies, all this stuff that I talk about all the time and I write about, I was really kind of blown away at the fact that resistance training, lifting weights, which I had always thought was just kind of like a Brocephus type deal, you know, like getting jacked, getting ripped. That was something that I was all in for whenever I was in my early 20s and stuff. But as I grew older, I thought, you know what? As long as I take care of my heart, as long as I crush a lot of cardio, I'm going to be good. Well, let me tell you something. I was wrong. In fact, there's this picture that Jim Lynn always loves to bring up, and it almost brings tears to her eyes, because I looked so awful. I looked emaciated. And what happened was, Jim Lynn bought me for Christmas, our first year together, a Peloton, and I got hooked. And all I wanted to do was be on that Peloton, and that was my primary exercise. And I literally was doing no weightlifting, no resistance training at all. And I probably added like 5 years or more of age to my face. I lost a ton of weight. I was down to 186 pounds, which for me is ridiculously thin. I had not weighed that since I was, I don't even remember weighing 186 pounds in high school, to be honest with you. When I graduated from college, I was like 195. So even as a college graduate, I was weighed like 195. So, I mean, it was terrible. And I looked terrible. And the reason why, and here's the thing, my body fat percentage was actually higher then at 186 than it is now. And the reason why is because I had so little muscle. And that was not the right approach. So what I'm going to talk about today is something that, frankly, I was completely ignorant to. And so if I, someone who has always taken care of my health, even whenever I decided I wasn't going to do any resistance training, I was only going to focus on cardio, I've always kind of at least maintained a healthy, healthy attitude and tried to really, you know, monitor my health, not get too overweight or whatever. And I was ignorant to it. So I got to believe that there's somebody out there listening to this that you probably haven't touched a weight in years. And the reason why is because a lot of times you hear women say they don't want to bulk up. A lot of times you hear men say, I don't care about having muscles. I don't want any of that. That's not what I'm out in for. So I just do walking on my treadmill, or I go on walks at night, whatever the case may be, which, by the way, all of that, as long as you're moving and doing something, I'll take that over nothing. But here's the thing. The more I learn, the more I hear and understand the importance of resistance training. In fact, I had Dr. Michael Eads on a while back, who is the author of Protein Power, New York Times bestselling author, one of the OGs of the low-carb, high-protein diets. Michael Eads is just an absolute genius. And whenever I asked him point blank, one of the times I had him on the show, I said, Doc, of all the things I could do for exercise, for training, for longevity, when it comes down to resistance versus cardio, which is the more important? Obviously, he said a holistic approach to training is always going to be best. You need to do both. But he said of most importance of the two, it's the resistance training. There are so many benefits to actually lifting heavy objects. Well, this week, I guess it was this weekend, I got an article. I subscribed to Peter Attia's newsletter, and he wrote a great article on this very point, especially when it comes to type 2 muscle fibers. Okay, think of the muscle fibers that you move, like whenever you move quickly. Think of sprinting. Think of those muscles that you haven't used in a really long time. Think of things like if you were a pitcher or you played baseball or you had to move quickly or you played tennis. Those muscles that we move a lot whenever we're having to do those really quick movements, those are sometimes the first to go. And those are also the ones that it turns out lead to injury in old age because we just haven't used them in so long. I know that a lot of one of the things I've learned is that a lot of people, as they age, they have trouble just doing things, simple things like lifting their arms up over their shoulders. Why? Because they haven't done it in forever. I mean, how many times have you seen your grandmother lift anything over her head? She doesn't do it. And here's what you have to remember, and this might be the biggest takeaway of this entire episode, is this. The human body is a use it or lose it proposition, okay? All the data, all the research that I've been digging into lately, it just keeps coming back to the same thing. Our bodies are meant to be used, and when we don't use them, the abilities start to deteriorate with the lack of movement, resistance training, all these things. It is a use it or lose it proposition. So if you're someone listening to this and you're not lifting weights, if you're not going on walks, if you're not doing these things, you are literally losing your ability to do those things. And then here's what happens. Whenever you get older, and if you haven't been moving and you don't have the strength, you don't have the muscle fibers, you don't have the bone density, and you slip and fall, you break a hip, and then you don't have the ability to heal quickly. And you mostly, unfortunately, if you're over the age of 65 and you fall and break your hip, you have a 40% chance of dying. So I think I've got those numbers right. It's something crazy like that. So I found this article. I didn't find it. It was emailed to me by Peter Tia. And I thought, this is something I want to talk about because I've had this on my mind for some time. And I've done episodes, I think, in the past. Or I know I've written about it in the Vitruvian Letter about resistance training. But this one was just such a good article, so concise and well-written as to why we need to keep our bodies moving. And as part of that movement, you got to push some weight. You got to start moving some weight. And that's something that I know a lot of people just take for granted. So the article starts out like this. As we get older, the age-related decline in muscle mass and strength, known as sarcopenia, is one of the major impediments to performing the tasks of daily living, such as getting in and out of bed, shopping, walking, and preparing meals. Now, I want to stop real quick. So one of the things about Peter Attia is, you know, his practice at this point, he was a surgeon. I don't think he does any surgeries any longer. He mostly focuses on kind of a concierge type practice, and its primary focus is longevity. His mission for his patients is to extract as many active years of life out of them as possible. What his goal is to close the marginal years to as small of a window as possible. What I mean by the marginal years, we have these years where we're able to do over 50% of the things that we like to do, right? Go on hikes, walk, ride bikes, do these things. But then once we slip below that line to where we're no longer even able to do operate at like a 50% level, I think that's his cutoff line, is you're either above or below this 50% mark of being able to be truly active. Once you slip below that, then all of a sudden your life is just not really that rich. And so what Peter Attia's mission is to take his patients and keep them above that active line as long as possible. The perfect scenario is that you and I live to be like 99 years old. And then it's the minute that we drop below that line of activity, of being able to do the things we want to do, boom, we drop dead. Okay. It's just like you live, you're active, you're happy, you're doing all these things, and all of a sudden, boom, you're gone. So that you don't have these long periods of time where you live an inactive life because you can't do those things that you want to do. How many of you know someone who has suffered from a heart attack, a stroke, a broken hip, something like that? And so now, yes, they're alive. Yes, they're still with us. Praise God for that. But they're not living a full and rich life. And that's what we're really, really good at, by the way, in the U.S. healthcare system. In particular, we're really good at keeping people alive. However, the focus should be on keeping people living a robust life longer and then shortening that period of time where they just can't do the things they want to do, right? So that's what Peter Attia's focus is on. And so that's what I really wanted. That's why this article, I just thought, really spoke just right to the point of use it or lose it, be active, and push some heavy objects, lift some heavy objects every once in a while. Okay, back to the article. Depending on your age, sarcopenia may seem like a concern for the distant future, but the declines in muscle quality begin earlier than many realize. With metrics such as muscle strength and power, strength multiplied by the speed of movement, starting to decline around the age of 40. Now, pause right here. This is one of the things that I'm so glad that whenever I went through that phase where I decided I was going to only do cardio, stay just uber thin, I look like an old man. I had this big poofy, I had a lot more hair than I have right now. And it was longer. And I looked like Matthew McConaughey from Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, it was awful. I looked so terrible. And so every time I see, and then, so there's this picture that I was referencing earlier from Easter of like 2019 or 2020. So it's about 4 years ago, I guess. And oh my God, I look kind of like, or also like Matthew McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street when he does that cameo. If any of you have seen that, which by the way, sidebar, did you know that in that scene where McConaughey starts doing his little, Leonardo DiCaprio had no idea what the hell he was doing. And as a matter of fact, if you watch the film, Leonardo looks away. He's looking at Martin Scorsese, the director, like, what is this dude doing? So that was all improvised, which is so cool. But in that scene, Matthew McConaughey had just come off Dallas Buyers Club for Wolf of Wall Street, so he hadn't gained his weight back. So he had his head looked too big, his body looked too small, he was still really thin. That's what I looked like. I looked gross and terrible. And this picture from Easter, my neck, I mean, my shirt is like three sizes too big around my neck. And I've got a bow tie on. It looks so bad. I mean, Jimlyn, she gets so depressed every single time she looks at it. But here's the thing. At that time, I was, 43 maybe, 44. I don't know, do the math. I'm 49 now, 40. Maybe I was 45 years old. So I had already started the downhill slide naturally of losing muscle mass. And here I was contributing to just deteriorating muscle even faster. Even though I was staying active, I was riding the crap out of the Peloton, I was losing so much muscle so fast, both from not doing anything and just age. So just because you're young, relatively speaking, in your 40s, doesn't mean that you're not losing muscle faster. All right, back to the article. Movements requiring strength and power recruit type 2 muscle fibers, which are known to atrophy with age more rapidly than type 1, which are endurance type muscle fibers. In fact, the atrophy shrinking of these most powerful type 2 muscles, of these most powerful type 2 muscle fibers, may be one of the most critical hallmarks of aging. Yet despite the trends of muscle aging at the population level, this process may not be as inevitable for any given individual as it might seem. A recent study tested whether heavy resistance training could reverse some of the age-related cellular level changes in skeletal muscle that are generally considered irreversible. Now, if you've ever listened to an episode of Authentic Health Friday, you know that Dr. Gus, who is my personal precision healthcare physician, he's my business partner, we're co-founders of Authentic Health together, and if you know anything about his MO, if his patients, and he's seen thousands of patients in his clinic, he always measures or is always working at the cellular level. So this is when it, you know, getting involved with Dr. Gus, reading stuff like this from Peter Attia, this is just all, it's just started to really, really reinforce to me that a lot of the things that most of us think we have to suffer from, well, I'm old and I'm going to ache more. I have this past weekend, in fact, I've had two family members. Well, one was a really close friend, this like a family member, another actual family member talk about just how much they ache and hurt. Well, it's just inflammation. And they're, both of them are over 50. And they were so excited whenever I told them, you don't have to feel that way. You do not have to. There are things that can be done. And that's why I wanted to bring some of this to your attention today. So let's start this. Just back to the article. Cellular level changes in aging muscle. In cross-section, healthy skeletal muscle fibers are tightly packed and form a tessellation. Am I thinking of it right? Tessellation. With each fiber taking the approximate shape of a pentagon or hexagon. However, as a muscle fiber atrophies, it tends to take on a more complex and often elongated shape in cross-section. One of the ways to quantify the irregularities in shape is with a shape factor index, or an SFI, which calculates the ratio of the fiber's perimeter to the fiber's cross-sectional area. The SFI of a perfect circle is 1, whereas an oval with the same area as the circle will have an SFI greater than 1. The metric quantities, the deformity of the shape of the muscle fibers in cross-section with higher numbers corresponding to greater deformity, but does not account for the overall size of the fiber. Okay, and then there's some pictures here, and I'll put this in the show notes that you can look at this. What this means is this, just the layman's person, is we can actually look and see the deformities of muscle fiber, so aged muscle fiber, so we can see where it's kind of started to deform to a degree to where it's aging, right? It's deteriorating. And what they did in this study is they looked at some of these muscle fibers they did muscle biopsies, and they took some of the fiber out, and they looked at it, and they saw the deformation, right? Well, then they put these people on a workout routine, on a workout regimen of resistance training, and they looked at the muscle fibers again. Guess what? Their shape started to change for the better. That's where they started to notice that you can actually reverse the age of these type 2 muscle fibers. Muscle fiber deformity correlates with age. This is back to the article. This study used quadricep muscles biopsies from 197 individuals who were largely physically inactive to quantify the deformities in the muscle fiber shape of both type 1 and type 2 fibers and assess age-related trends in performance and cellular morphology. For analysis, participants were separated into 3 groups by age: young, being 20 to 36, old, 60 to 79, and oldest, 81 to 97. In the evaluation of the muscle biopsies, mean FCI exhibited a significant increase across increasing age groups for both types 1 and type 2 muscle fibers, demonstrating that the measurement of myofiber shape distortion increases with advancing age. All right, pause for a minute. So that's kind of obvious, right? If you have somebody do a biopsy of someone's quadricep at age 50 and a biopsy of someone who is age 70, and you're going to see, and in both of them, they're inactive, they're not doing much, they're not lifting weights, then you're going to see more deformities in that muscle fiber, right? I mean, that's what you'd expect, and absolutely, it's true. Okay. And this is implying that type 2 variety are even more susceptible to atrophy and deformity across an individual's lifespan than type 1 fibers. Okay, so I skipped a little bit there. So they showed that there was a more change in these type 2 fibers. So these type 2 fibers that we just don't use that much, like you lose the quick twitch activities, jumping, hopping, sprinting, those sorts of things. The older we get, the even faster those seem to decline. Indeed, compared to the young group, the old and oldest groups respectively had a 6.2% and a 13.6% higher SFI in type 2 muscle fibers. Additionally, type 2 fiber SFI was an independent predictor of overall muscle size as measured by the cross-sectional area of the quadriceps, and muscle strength as measured by isometric and isokinetic maximal voluntary contractions. The effect of resistance training. Now, here we go. So here's where we're going to try to figure out. All right, so they've taken these young, old, and oldest groups, right? And they've done these biopsies to look at their muscles. And then what they figured out is that the type 1 muscles, just these big, your larger endurance muscles, that there was some change for sure. But the biggest change as we age is in these type 2 fast twitch muscle fibers. Okay, so that's what we've seen so far. So to try to figure out if they could change the shape of these muscles and actually make these muscle fibers look more like they are younger muscle fibers, they put these folks on a resistance training program. And here's what happened. A subset of N equals 59 of this cohort then participated in heavy resistance training, which consisted of supervised training 3 times a week, Since the study aimed to evaluate changes in the quadriceps muscle, only leg exercises were required as resistance training. Okay, because they did the biopsy there, so the muscle fibers that they were evaluating were in the quadricep. So therefore, they were just going to really work those muscles. Okay, makes sense, right? Okay. Training included a 5-minute warm-up of low to moderate intensity cycling, followed by 3 to 5 sets of 8 to 15 repetitions of leg presses, leg extensions, and leg curls, as well as 2 optional upper body exercises. These exercises were performed using the maximal weight possible while still completing the 8 to 15 repetitions. When a participant achieved a target number of repetitions at a given load, the load for that exercise was continuously increased. After 3 to 4 months of this training protocol, a second muscle biopsy was taken from these individuals. So here's where we're going to find out, were we able to actually change the look and shape of these muscle fibers after doing some resistance training? Well, back to the article, compared to baseline, both young and old groups had a 3 to 4% decrease in average SFI of type 2 fibers post-training, a significant change and a partial reversal of the age-related trend. We have reversed the age of the muscle fibers. Though no participants in the oldest group were part of the resistance training intervention, the finding that young and old groups experience similar reductions in type 2 fiber SFI from suggests that age may not compromise the ability to improve muscle quality through resistance training as much as previously thought, which in turn would imply that age-related decline in muscle quality is not as unavoidable as previously thought and more likely reflects a decline in muscle use. This would also explain why type 1 fibers see a more modest age-associated increase in deformity, given that these fibers are more important for movements in daily life activities and thus are less likely to be subject to steep declines in use. Furthermore, though 3 to 4 months of training did not bring the old group quite to the level of the young group's baseline values, it's possible with a longer training history, they might experience even more adaptation and further diminish the difference in SFI of type 2 myofibers between these two groups, adding further support for the use it or lose it concept of muscle decline. The investigators also tested a subset of muscle biopsies for the presence of a biomarker of microfiber denervation. Denervated myofibers had high SFI values, and the presence of denervated myofibers increased with age, which supports the hypothesis that the deformities in myofiber shape may occur after the loss of motor neuron intervention. Okay. The importance of resistance training at any age. It is well known that a population level type 2 muscle fibers atrophy with aging and inactivity. However, it is not clear at what degree these age-related changes might be avoidable. This is Peter Tia talking. I find myself personally unconvinced that the magnitude of decline we see at the population level is biologically inevitable. Rather, I believe it is driven more by a vicious cycle of inactivity and deconditioning. Okay, now pause real quick. This is the main point of this article, in my opinion, and for you, and why I wanted to talk to you guys, my audience, especially those of you who might be in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s and 80s. For years and years, there has been this mindset that once you reach a certain age, you shouldn't lift weights. You shouldn't do these things. It can be dangerous. It can be harmful. That is absolute balderdash. The bottom line is, the reason why we see this deterioration, it's not so much biologically because of age. It is more related to the older we get, the less things we do. We just start sitting more. We just stop lifting weights. We just get to this point in life where we just don't do the things we once did. And what Peter Attia is saying here is that if you stay active, then this is not so much a biological thing as it is a kind of just a habitual. It's just kind of across the general population, this behavioral activity has more to do with this degenerative effect of muscle fibers than actual biological reasoning. So it's very important to know that. And then I want to take it down here to the final paragraph here. It says, exercise, and in particular resistance training, is one of the most effective ways to combat sarcopenia and the so-called age-related declines in muscle composition. They're not as unavoidable as many might think. The results of this study demonstrate that heavy resistance training creates gross adaptations to skeletal muscle in the form of strength and hypertrophy, and suggest that the irregular shape of atrophied muscle fibers is a hallmark of insufficient stimuli more than chronological age alone. Older muscle still responds to resistance training, proving again that it's never too early or too late to start reaping the benefits of this crucial strategy for preventing muscle losses with age. Show me a 90-year-old who says, gee, I wish I had less muscle mass, and I'll show you a leprechaun at the end of a double rainbow riding a unicorn kissing a mermaid. That last line right there was worth reading the entire article. I got to say, well done, Peter Attia, or whichever intern or whomever might have written, helped you write that. But here's the bottom line, folks. If you are someone that says, I don't want to lift weights because I'm going to get too bulky, you deserve a punch in the throat. If you are someone that says, I'm just too old, you don't understand, I'm arthritic, and I don't need to be lifting weights, you need a punch in the throat. I'm just kidding. Nobody needs a punch in the throat, but you stop. Stop making excuses. There are so many things, so many of you out there that are, I was talking to someone this morning about all the medicines that are being prescribed to everybody, just left and right, just these people that they get a certain age and they're taking like 16 different prescriptions and all this stuff. And then you want to ask them, okay, well, what are you doing to supplement your body's natural, production of different minerals and this sort of thing, vitamins and minerals? What are you doing to supplement there? And then what are you eating? What does your nutritional makeup look like? And then what are you doing to exercise? And here's the thing. Peter Attia has said over and over again. I've said it over and over again. Dr. Gus says it over and over again. There is nothing to substitute the power of exercise. There is no supplement. There is no statin. There's no nothing. Exercise is the king of all longevity drugs. And within that exercise routine, resistance training has to be a part of the calculus. So thank you, Dr. Peter Attia. You can subscribe to his newsletter just to give credit where credit's due at peterattia.com. And I don't know if I get this full thing. I think anybody can get this for free. I get one because I actually subscribe to his Drive podcast, where I pay a little bit of money. But I think this is for anybody, and it's free. Highly recommend it. And folks, get out there, lift some weights, and look, don't overthink it. Do some pushups. If you're someone that has not done anything in years and years and years, throughout the day, go lean up against your kitchen counter, facing forward, and do some pushups up, leaning against your kitchen counter. Do 10 air squats throughout the day whenever you can. But start some sort of routine. I don't care if you are just doing curls with 10-pound dumbbells. It doesn't matter. Start lifting some weights. Reactivate those type 2 twitch muscles. Because let me tell you something. Those of you who are older that have had surgery on your rotator cuff, that you have broken hips, that if this the mere thought of you having to try to sprint down the street makes you pull a muscle, then start moving more. Get some resistance training in. Start to reverse the aging process of those type 2 muscle fibers, and you will then do what I talked about earlier. You're going to shrink those marginal years of life. You're going to increase those active years of life. You're going to make life sweeter, more active. It's going to be a whole lot better. And that's what I am wanting for everyone within earshot. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hey, leave me some comments. Don't forget to leave a rating out there. And if I can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to the website. I've got a contact sheet there, and let me know what I can do to help you out. Thanks so much for listening. Never stop improving. Always and always. I'm Jason, and I'm out.